Leviticus chapter 17 and verses 10 through to 12 I set before you. And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood, and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, no soul of you shall eat blood, neither shall any stranger that sojourneth among you eat blood. I would especially highlight the central verse in this text, the verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. This verse 11 is the key verse in this chapter. Not only is it the most significant verse in this chapter in Leviticus 17, it is in actual fact a key verse in the whole book of Leviticus. In fact, we could be so bold as to say that in all of the scripture, Leviticus 17 and verse 11 is among the most important verses. It's high up there in central texts in scripture. This verse is a pillar in understanding the meaning of the cross work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in this 17th chapter of Leviticus, there is in my mind a twofold emphasis in regard to sacrifice. You know that Leviticus is about the sacrifices, especially the first half of it. And there is a dual emphasis in this chapter in particular that I want to highlight to you. It is brought out in our text, in actual fact, in verse 11. Now, if you carefully look at verse 11, you will see that there are three phrases. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, that's phrase 1. I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, that's phrase 2. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul, that's phrase 3. There is, first of all, an emphasis on the blood. There is a focus on the killing of the domesticated animals, a focus on the shedding of their blood. And the word blood occurs about 13 times, I think I counted, in this chapter. And it's only a chapter of only 16 verses. The verbs to kill, to offer, also frequently occur. So there's an emphasis on the blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood, phrase 1. I have given it to you, phrase 2. It is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul, phrase 3. There is an emphasis on the blood. But it is not just about the blood by itself and the blood on its own. There is a second emphasis. And if you look at those three phrases again, there is something important in the middle. In the center phrase, the life of the flesh is in the blood. At one side, it's the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. On the other side, but you'll notice in the middle what God says, I have given it to you upon the altar. The altar. It's only the blood on the altar. That's the emphasis in this verse. That's the emphasis in this chapter. That's the emphasis in all the scriptures. And so the second emphasis is on the sanctuary, the brazen altar upon which the sacrifices are offered. And this emphasis is maintained throughout the whole chapter. In verses 1 to 6, we read that the Lord commands that all the sacrifices are to be brought to the tabernacle. Nowhere else. They must be killed and they must be offered in the sanctuary. Everybody is to know this. You see how God says, "Speak unto Aaron, unto his sons, unto all the children of Israel." Everybody is to know this. Not just the priests, not just the high priest, but all the people of God are to know this. This is the Lord's command. At the end of verse 2, it's a thing which the Lord has commanded. And it concerns the offerings of the domesticated animals in sacrifice. Every sacrifice has to go to the sanctuary. Every sacrifice has to go to the door of the tent. It's to be brought to the Lord. It's to make its way onto the altar. That's the emphasis. Verse 4, "And bringeth it not unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation to offer an offering unto the Lord before the tabernacle of the Lord. Blood shall be imputed unto that man. He have shed blood, and that man shall be cut off from among his people." The people are to bring it to the congregation. If he doesn't, the blood's imputed to him. So there are to be no sacrifices in the field. There are to be no sacrifices in your home. It's all to be brought to the sanctuary. It's all to be brought unto the Lord. It's all to come unto the altar. There's even a solemn judgment. That person will be cut off who doesn't do this. In verse 4 there. And the purpose of this commandment is, verse 5, "to the end that the children of Israel may bring their sacrifices which they offer in the field, even that they may bring them unto the Lord, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, unto the priest, and offer them for peace offerings unto the Lord." So you see the emphasis here. It's to come to the altar, blood, but it's not to be blood without the altar, without the going on to the Lord, without the sanctuary. And then verse 6, we have blood and altar together. "The priest shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar of the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation." The blood is to go on the altar. It's all Godward, to God alone. It's certainly not to be offered on to anything else or any other altar. That's devilish. You have it there in verse 7. "They shall no more offer their sacrifices unto devils, after whom they have gone a whoring. This shall be a statute forever unto them throughout their generation." So they're not to be offered to any but to the Lord. It's to come to the altar to the Lord. So that's the emphasis in this chapter. Again, there is the emphasis that they that do otherwise shall be cut off among the saints. It's repeated there in verse 8. "Whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel or of the strangers which sojourneth among you, that offereth the burnt offering or sacrifice, and bringeth it not unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation to offer it unto the Lord, even that man shall be cut off from among his people." So you see, this is very serious business. This is a very important principle that God is teaching his people about the blood on the altar. The blood can never be eaten, therefore. And you have that emphasis in this chapter as well. You're not to eat the blood. You're not to drink the blood. The blood can never be eaten under any circumstances. You have that in verse 10. "Whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood, and will cut him off from among his people." So the blood is not for man. Now there were many offerings, many bloody offerings. Sometimes the meat could be consumed by man, by the priests and by the people, but never, never the blood. The blood always had to be poured out at the altar. Never could be manward at all. It was always Godward, always for God, for Him alone. And this prohibition against eating blood extends even to the strangers that are living in Israel. Not just to Israel, but if their strangers come out and sojourn with you, they're not to eat the blood either. It's not to be done. It's for the altar. So you have this emphasis, you see. And it's repeated throughout this chapter. You have the repetition of it in verse 12 again. Verse 10 and verse 12, either side of our text, verse 11, we have this prohibition against humans taking the blood and consuming it. And what is the reason for this? And the answer is, our text gives the reason. You're not to eat the blood. Anyone who sojourns among you is not to eat the blood. Verse 11, for, this is the reason, this is the explanation, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. It's a very good reason. In fact, there are a number of reasons, and that's what we're looking at this morning. Why the offering has to come to the altar, why the blood is holy God's. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. So it has nothing to do with nutrition. It has nothing to do with diet. It's not that the blood has no food value in itself. And no doubt the blood does have food value. It's not that it's unclean or that eating blood is harmful, biologically speaking. It's nothing to do with biology. The reason is theological. It was set apart for the sacred use in the sanctuary. It was set apart for God to prefigure Christ crucified. And so there are several reasons here in our text. These reasons are all linked together in these three phrases. They cannot be divorced from one another. If one is false, all fall together, all fall apart. All are true. Not only are they all linked and all true, these reasons, they are coming to a climax. The life of the flesh is in the blood. That's a reason. I've given it to you upon the altar. That's a reason. To make an atonement for your souls, that's a reason. And that's repeated. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. That's the reason. That's the climax. You will notice that there is an emphasis then on atonement. It's repeated. It occurs in the central phrase, but it also comes into the climactic phrase at the end. It's the blood that makes atonement. The blood on the altar, mind you, that makes atonement. First of all, then, God says, and I remind you that it is God that is speaking here. The Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron and to the priests and to the children of Israel. It's God speaking. The whole of Leviticus practically is God speaking directly. So God knows. God knows what he's speaking about. God knows about this matter. God knows about the theology of this truth. God knows that we need to listen to him. And we're not going to understand the cross, congregation, if we don't listen to God. This is part of the explanation of the cross. This is part of the explanation of Calvary and what Calvary is all about and what that man giving himself on that tree is all about. This is God's explanation. This is the doctrine of the atonement. And we are to listen to the Lord. And if we don't listen to God and his explanation of the cross, you know what's going to happen? We're going to listen to the liberals. We're going to be infected by liberal interpretations of Calvary. If we don't listen to God, here's the explanation. The life of the flesh is in the blood. That's foundational. That's first. By flesh here is meant the body. The body of the domesticated animal. But it's also true of the body of a man and true of the body of our Lord, who was made flesh and dwelt among us. The life of the flesh, the life of the body is in the blood. There's something special about the blood. When the blood goes, the body dies. Death comes by blood shedding. So there's something about the blood that is vital. The life is considered as being in the blood. And the value of that life resides in the blood. We call it the lifeblood of a man. That's what Jesus gave. His lifeblood. The word here, life, is often translated soul. The soul is in the blood. It's repeated again in verse 14. It is the life of all flesh. The blood of it is the life thereof. Therefore I said unto you, eat the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of all flesh is the blood thereof. So all flesh, animal flesh, whatever, when the blood is shed, that life is poured out, death comes, the offering dies, the life has been given, the life has been taken away, a sacrifice has been made, a substitution has taken place, one has died in the stead of another, in the shedding of the blood. And as I said, this is not only true of animals, but it's true of the flesh of man. It's true of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. Life is precious. If a man says, I will give my blood, he means he will give his life. His most valuable possession. Every life is valuable, you know. But the most valuable life of all is the human life of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the most valuable life of all. What a life was that, that was lived upon the earth? The life of that humanity of our Lord. What a good life. What a holy life. What a sinless life. What a pure, spotless life. What a life of grace and meekness. There never was a life like it. A life of doing good, endlessly doing good. A life of never doing anything wrong, never doing any sin. Jesus Christ had that life. And yet he could say concerning that life, he says, I lay it down for you. He's talking about the shedding of his blood, the giving of his body as a sacrifice. This is my blood, he says, which is shed for you. This is my life, which is sacrificed for you. Now the Lord further adds something in our text here that is very striking. Actually very remarkable. And yet also very, very wonderful. God says, I have given it to you. The blood. I've given it to you. The worshipper is maybe thinking, we give the blood. That's true. They're told to bring the offering to the tent. They're told to bring the offering to the tabernacle. They do the killing and they shed the blood and they pour the blood out at the altar. And maybe they're thinking, well, we give the blood. No. God says, I have given it to you and for you. The Lord has given the blood. They are to offer the beast, of course, and bring the blood. But only God ordains it. God has planned it. God has provided for it. The emphasis this morning when we speak about the atonement through the blood, the emphasis is atonement is not man's plan. Atonement is not man saying, I'll give God the blood. That's not atonement. Atonement is God saying, I give you the blood. I have given it for you upon the altar. It's for you. And so it's not man's plan, it's God's plan. I've given you the blood. This is my blood, Jesus says, for you. I have given you the blood for you sinners, for your souls. It's God's plan. It's God's grace. I have given. The Lord here, of course, is keeping before Israel the one way of salvation. This is a very important verse. He is reminding them the provision through sacrifice is of God and of his grace alone. I have given it to you. And God here is I, and ultimately his Son, the ultimate sacrifice, who shall come in flesh. A body hast thou prepared me. He's I in Christ. I have given it for you. Oh, the marvelous grace of God. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. I have given him to you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I have given him for you. I've done it. It's my plan. It's my provision. It's my grace. It's my one way of salvation for you sinners. I've given it. I've given it. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. God did it. You'll notice in what sense God has given the blood to his people. It is not that I have given it to you in the flesh. Of course, God has put blood in the flesh, and God has made blood to be so important in our bodies, to keep our bodies alive. And in that sense, God has given us the blood in our bodies. But that's not what the text says. The text says, I have given it to you upon the altar. The shed blood. The poured out blood. The sacrificial blood. That's what I've given to you. The giving isn't just to what's going on in the body. The giving is extending to what's going on at the altar, what's going on at the cross, what's going on in the actual sacrifice. The blood and the altar come together. I've given it to you upon the altar. I've given it to you in sacrifice, in atonement, in propitiation. It's not I've given you animals that you can offer. No, I've given you the very offering. I've given you the very provision of salvation. Israel is never to think that they're giving to God something for their salvation. No, the offerings are about ultimately what God is giving to us, what God is providing for us, and giving us a substitute, and giving us a sacrifice, and giving us a true blood atonement. God is eyeing Christ here when he talks thus. For you. For you. For your souls. Israel's never to forget this, you see. Do you see why this is a key verse, congregation? Why this is so important? This is the heart of the gospel. Upon the altar. The offering is to me. In the offering and in the sacrifice of the life offered Godward is all our salvation. And what I'm saying is it's not just about the blood, but it is about the blood on the altar. Godward. Not just the blood as life, but the blood as shed in sacrifice. Shed blood on the altar that makes atonement as offered to God. It had to be upon the altar. The altar. And what I'm saying is that the altar is as necessary as the blood. The two are in union. It is by this means that atonement is made. I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For your souls. For you. For you. This is necessary for our souls. Why do souls need an atonement, you ask? Well, because they are sinful souls, that's why. They are stained souls. They are souls under the sentence of death. Souls that are in danger of being eternally separated from God and damned. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And the only answer is the grace of God. And this is what the grace of God brings. The atonement for your souls. For your souls. So this is something that God has provided in the blood upon the altar. Now, atonement speaks of covering. So this provision of God somehow provides a covering for your souls. There are very important words in the Bible, and one of the important words in the Bible is atonement. Atonement is a covering. Covering of what? Well, the text is clear. The souls, it covers the souls. It's a covering for your souls. It covers the life of man. Why does the soul need a covering? Sin has entered, you see. The soul is in danger. It's in danger of death, of condemnation, of judgment. The soul that sinneth shall die, as I said, and only a covering can save it from that judgment, from that condemnation. And it is true, the blood covers sin. But that's not the emphasis of the text, is it? It doesn't say it covers sin. It atones for your soul. Covers the souls. And so the emphasis and the meaning in the text is that it covers the soul, and thus covering from the judgment and from the condemnation of the law that comes upon that soul because of sin. But God provides a covering in Jesus Christ, and this is the only covering. There's nothing else. I have provided it. I've given it for you upon the altar. There's nothing else. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing else. All other coverings do not profit. They do not prosper. Only the blood on the altar. It's emphasized twice, as I said, this atonement, isn't it? To make an atonement, for it is the blood that makes an atonement. For the soul. You notice how it's in the plural in the first part. For your souls. For all the souls of God's people. But also for the soul. The individual soul. It's as necessary for one soul as for all the souls. And it's the same means. The same salvation. The same atonement. For all. Whether considered as the whole church. The whole body. Or whether as considered as a member of the body. Souls or soul. Nothing but the blood upon the altar for the soul, the souls of all the saints, the soul that avails itself of this remedy by faith. Because one of the things that it had to do was to lay the hand on the sacrifice. And that laying on the hand of the sacrifice, as I've said in the past, wasn't just giving a little pat on the head. No, you had to press down. You had to lean upon it. You had to put the weight of your whole body on the head of that beast, as if to say, this is my offering. This is my substitute. I'm leaning on this. Your soul needs to believe in Jesus Christ, to lean on the sacrifice. So the Lord has a covering for us. in his grace. I have given it to you. Oh, the matchless grace of God in Christ. That marvelous wonder of his mercy. The Father provides the covering, and the Son of God gives himself as that covering in his cross. The covering. Remember how the prophet says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul is joyful in my God, he says, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robes of righteousness. He's given me a covering. That covering is the blood of Christ. Remember how the psalmist said, O thou the Lord, my strength and my salvation, thou hast covered my head. Oh, you've covered me, Lord. You provided a covering for my head and for my soul. You've done it, Lord. Didn't God do this at the beginning? What was the very first thing God did when he restored Adam and Eve? Before he put them out of the garden, of course, but he dealt with them in grace before they went out there into that world of sin into which Christ was going to have to come to bring the covering. But before he sent them out, we read that he covered them. Clothed them. Only God can do it, you see. It only needs to be said that this was fulfilled at Calvary, congregation. This is what Calvary is, you know. This is the explanation. This verse explains Calvary, what the cross is. The atonement took place on the earth. The atonement didn't take place in heaven. The atonement took place on the cross. The atonement took place in the earth. It's very important that the atonement takes place on the earth too. Because that's where sin is. Heaven's closed until the atonement takes place on the earth. That veil of the temple doesn't rent in two, and the entrance made into the holy place until the blood, the atonement is made on the earth. It has to be made before there can be the entering in. It takes place at the altar, at the brazen altar. Takes place at Calvary. It all takes place at the cross. It's at the cross where Jesus says, it is finished. The altar was outside the holy place in the court. And it was on the grounds of the atonement and the blood being poured at the altar that the veil was removed and the covering of the most holy place ceased. In actual fact, that covering was now made the covering upon the soul in the grace of God. He moved that veil back to cover his people so that they could come in covered themselves. And it's the blood that has done this, the atoning work of Christ. Heaven was opened to soul-covered sinners who are now covered by the righteousness and by the redemptive work and the atoning blood of Jesus Christ. Now, don't mistake me. The cross is not the altar. It's only a piece of wood. You need a far better altar than that to sustain the divine wrath and the fire of fiery justice. Timber won't do it. Christ was impaled on the cross, it is true. He died on the cross. But the altar is his person. The divine person. The God-man. His deity sustaining his humanity as he offers himself in sacrifice and sheds his blood in atonement. He is both altar and sacrifice. That's what the cross is about. That's what Calvary's about. He is the atonement in his sacrifice. He is the offering, whole and complete in himself, both offering and altar, given by the Father. He gives himself to the Father and offers himself wholly unto God. And that is the atonement. And the life of Christ is vital and essential. But that life has to be offered in death. And that life has to be given in sacrifice. And he sheds his life blood. So in him, in his death, who is blood and altar, perfectly meet together for this atonement. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God. Do you see what he's done? He's offered himself to God. The sacrifice has been Godward. He's offered himself. But do you notice those words? He did it through the eternal Spirit. The altar of the divine nature. Offered himself through the eternal Spirit. So here is altar and sacrifice. And they perfectly meet in Jesus Christ. I have given it to you upon the altar. That's what this means. Christ is the fulfillment of all the sanctuary in the tabernacle. He tabernacled among us. The altar of his eternal deity. The altar has to sustain the fire, you see, to uphold the offering, and Christ is God and man in one person, giving himself. He's the only one who could. Now, of the value of the sacrifice of the Son of God, no man could possibly speak. It's immeasurable. Only God knows the value of that offering unto himself. What an offering it was. But only God can appreciate the value of it. We can only believe it is enough. That it is in itself immeasurable. And it is enough. And we don't need anything more. As Jesus himself said, it is finished. This is all our salvation. Do you see then the meaning of the cross? Do you see and understand, and that's what I've been trying to put before you, what Calvary is all about? Atonement. About atonement for your soul. Are you trusting in Christ this day then? Are you under his covering? If you are, bless God and rejoice in this so great salvation. And stand in wonder and admiration at the matchless grace of God in the provision of the atonement. And then also be holy. For he who has redeemed you is holy. And if you're not under the covering, you need to enter into the refuge of salvation. If you're not under the covering, you need to get under it. You need to say, Lord, cover me, cover my head in the day of judgment. Cover my head in the day of fiery justice and indignation. Cover my head under the sacrifice of thy Son. You need to flee from the wrath to come and to get under the covering. It's the only covering. In Christ's blood, to him be glory. Amen.